In one of them. It's good to see everybody out this morning. Again, it's so wonderful to have many visitors with us this morning. Each and every one of you are certainly honored guests to us to be here. We're grateful that you're here, grateful that you've chosen to come and to worship and to study the Word of God. I certainly ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. Make sure the truth is being taught, that we're not straying from it, not added to, nor taken away, and that if you have any questions about the lesson, about the scriptures that we're going to be looking at today, please be willing to come to us. If you feel like anything has been taken out of context, please again, let it be known, and we'd be happy to study that further. So we had a situation here in America, assassination that had taken place. I don't plan on getting too much political in that point, but some might say I am. But the mindset that there are those who are going to try and stop others from teaching the truth, from preaching what they believe. I believe a lesson needs to be brought up. And so a lesson this morning is we can't stop preaching the truth. So I'm not going to lie that you sit there and think about what had taken place. You consider that going out into the world and just door knocking, or standing out and someone seeing you read your Bible or praying and then brings the opportunity for someone to ask questions. And you start to ponder what could be the consequences of standing up for God. What could be the consequences for standing up and saying what you believe is the truth? Again, we do our best, as long as I'm not having any technical difficulties, to put our lessons up on Facebook, on YouTube, and up on our website. So even the things in which we preach as we're gathered here in this building, gathered with our brethren in Christ, is thrown out there for all to hear and for the possibility of consequences to come upon. That should never stop us from preaching the truth. So I want to ask that you follow along and see the point that I'm making this morning, and that we have to be willing to continue to teach the Word of God, as the world is going to continue to go down wrong. It's never going to end, and it's not new. Let us make that clear. It's not a new thing. We've been told there's nothing under the sun. I want to start off bringing out the point the world is not going to bat an eye at the sin that's going on in the world. When we go further to the question of how far will the world go before they start batting an eye, before they start to say, well, we're in the wrong place, we need to fix the situation. We really need to change, and they're the ones that are going to start it. They're going to repent themselves. They're going to change their ways and go in the right direction. And yet we see again the verses that we're bringing out are from anywhere from the close to the beginning of time up to, you know, still thousands of years ago. And so again, nothing new that took place then that people were doing, to the point of asking, is this going on today? People still don't bat an eye. They don't bat an eye so much. The world is caught up and full of sin. We need to realize that. I know we want to go around and say that the world is full of good people, and there are plenty of good people in the world, but the world is also full of evil, and you would even go further to say that the world has more evil in it than it does have good. Because that's the way the Scripture has continuously shown us that. In Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5, Genesis 6 and verse 5 says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then we go further and we can study that story, right? And study it in these verses, study it in the New Testament as it's brought out. And we're told that there are few that were saved. That is 8 souls, right? You have Noah, his 3 sons, and all their wives. So 8 people in the entire world was saved. Because the rest of the world was continuously evil. And then we take that mindset of that there were few who were saved then, and that we're told in Matthew 7 that there are few who will find that narrow, righteous path that leads to heaven. You've got to ask that question. Well, if there are only few who are going to find that path, how many are evil and how many are good? How many are unrighteous and how many are righteous in the world today? The world is caught up in sin. We live our lives in this world and we get so used to it. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 19, if you will, look with me there in verse 4. Here is Lot is in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angels come down and Lot is trying to save these men, not realizing they were angels. Genesis 19, verse 4 says, "Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. They called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may have relations with them.'" They wanted to have their way with this man. And again, it's not that, well, again, that question of would the world bat an eye? Oh yeah, the world wouldn't back that up. We're talking about 2 whole cities here, right? We're not talking about one person coming and doing harm to one other person or just a small group of people. We're talking about an entire town and another that have gathered together to harm two people, to do their way. Well, then you might say, well, that would never happen in this nation. That would never happen in this day or in this city. And again, you go to Judges, you have a similar situation there in Judges 19. You have a man who is part of Israel. And he's traveling through and he chooses not to stay in a nation that is not part of Israel. But rather he stays where he is among God's people. And guess what God's people do? They do the exact same thing. They surround this man's house and tried to say, "Let him out so that we may know him carnally." This man had a servant, a woman servant, who he left outside, and they did have their way with her to the point that she died. I'm telling you now, there's enough people out in the world. Yes, there are some who will not. There are some who will genuinely be upset with the situation, but there are plenty out there that aren't going to. And you can't say that as the time goes by that it won't get even worse to more and more people who are just going to ignore the situation. Or better yet, they're going to join the situation. And so we have to be willing to preach. We have to be willing to stand with God. Again, how bad can things get? How far will people go? 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 28. 2 Kings chapter 6. And look there in verse 28. Again, here it says, "And the king said to her, 'What is the matter with you?' And she answered," right? This is a bad time. This woman comes to the king, "Help me, help me. What's the matter? What's wrong?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." She was coming to the king and asking for help to find a kid to eat.
Again, that's how far people got in this situation. Again, in Lamentations, in chapter 4 and verse 10, it makes mention of this again, of them going and taking their own children, taking people. And you don't see the guilt of doing this wrong, but rather the anger for them not joining and doing the same thing. The wisdom of Solomon is given as an example here in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 26, as two women are arguing over a child, one has stolen the other's child, and we don't know who's telling the truth. And you read here, it says, the woman whose child, and he says, so we're going to divide the child, verse 25, it says, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose child was living once spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over the son, and said, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours to divide it. Basically, if I can't have a kid, you can't. So we're going to kill your son. We're going to kill your child. We just took the Lord's Supper, remembering the sacrifice of Christ. We take time to remember that we had to go to the cross. We need to remember that it was also the chief priest. And it was the elders who were stirring up the crowd to shout out, release Barabbas and crucify. Right? Release the murderer. Crucify the man who said something I didn't. You better believe that there, if you hadn't been paying attention to all the stuff, yes, if you watch the main media stuff, you've probably seen most of everybody coming together trying to say this was wrong. I want to tell you now that there are plenty of videos out there that are just saying, well, he got what he deserved. Plenty of videos out there saying, you know, why should we have any sympathy for this man and his family? There are plenty of people out there doing it. Plenty of people out in the world right now not batting an eye about what was just just as there's plenty of people not batting an eye about Jesus dying on that cross. Do we stop? Do we say, well, you know what? We'll allow the world to have its way. Turn along with me to Isaiah 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, looking there, and in verse 20. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We cannot join in and ignore the situation. We cannot get caught up in the ways of the world as the world continues to go forth and call sin good. To go forth and call evil good. And then go forth and call the good things that God has truly given to us. To call His Word and the truth shame. We have to be willing to speak up. And that means we have to be willing to study the Scriptures. We have to be willing to look at it daily and pray to God for wisdom and make sure that we're ready to stand with our Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and looking there at verse 15, 1 Peter 3 and in verse 15 says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. It says, sanctify God, sanctify Christ in your heart, so that you will be ready to give a defense, to give an answer to everyone who asks you Again, Jesus made it clear that it says, he who denies me, I will deny before the Father in heaven. But he who confesses me, I will confess before the Father. So if someone comes to you and asks your faith, asks what you believe, and if you deny the Scriptures, you deny our Savior, then he is going to deny you. So you need to sanctify Christ in your hearts. You need to study and make sure it is what you believe, that we are lined up with his will, and be ready to give your answer, to stand with the Lord. Aaron read for us 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he read those first four verses for us. As Paul encouraging Timothy to continue to fight that good fight, right? To continue to preach the word. Verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with great patience and instruction. That we are to be ready at all times. Whether it's a convenient time or inconvenient time, whether it's a time of the gospel meeting, a time for Sunday, where we gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's the time we talk about God because we're surrounded by believers of God, and so therefore it's easy to share our faith. Or you're out in the world and you're surrounded by those who don't want to hear the truth. Are you ready to stand with him and preach? Are you ready to go forward and share the truth that is in our Lord and Savior? Matthew chapter 5. Jesus made it clear we are going to suffer in his name. Matthew chapter 5, if you will, look with me there in verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. For your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Nothing even right. They persecuted those who taught them. They persecuted Jesus. They persecuted the apostles. They will persecute us today. But blessed are you if you suffer in his name. You know, the last part of Revelation 2 and verse 10 is a verse that most probably had instilled in their head. Remain faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The reason that that verse is there is because the church was being persecuted. The beginning of that verse says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may try and have tribulation, and may be faithful until death, unto death. And I'll give you the crown of righteousness. If we're going to receive that kind of righteousness, we have to be faithful in all things. They don't get to dictate what it is we're going to preach. They don't get to choose what is right and what is wrong. They can threaten all they want, but we must continue to fight that good fight. Follow the examples of those who have suffered before us. In Acts chapter 4, if you will. Acts chapter 4, and looking there in verse 17, it says, but so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer in any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And when they had threatened them further, they let them go. So here they are taken in, they're taken into custody, they're put on trial basically because they healed somebody and they've done this good work and they're preaching in the name of Christ, and then they are threatened. Do not preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, we have to teach the truth and what we're going to be honest, what we've seen and what we've heard. And then they threaten them again, and guess what they do? They go out and teach. So what happens next in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40 says, they took the advice after the calling of the apostles, and they flogged them in order them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So first they were warned, threatened, and now they're warned, threatened, flogged, and beat. Stop teaching. Stop teaching in the name of Christ. Stop teaching the truth. Are we going to allow them to dictate that? Are we going to allow them to persuade us to change the scriptures and to find this a new translation that they've made up on their own that does not actually abide within the true teachings that were originally given to us? In Romans 1 and verse 26 and 27, it says, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also men abandoned the natural function of women and burned in their desires toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts, deceiving their own persons, and due penalty of their ear. Again, in Leviticus, it was made mention there. When we go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 and 10, that homosexuality is listed there. But then are we supposed to just ignore those scriptures? Are we supposed to tear those scriptures and mark them out in our Bibles? Make sure you just never read those scriptures. Because the world says that we're not supposed to. They don't get to dictate the truth. As much as they will say, this is my truth, there is only one truth. One God, one saint. Do they get to dictate what is okay when it comes to abortion? What is okay when it comes to killing a human person? In Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Proverbs 6, and looking there in verse 16 here, it says, there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven that are abomination to him, haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. You don't get much more innocent than a newborn that hasn't been born, that baby, an infant, still inside its mother's womb. Couldn't harm anybody. Can't say anything. Has not yet said. And again, Psalm 139, verse 13, just making a reminder to us that God is the one that formed us in our mother's womb. God knew us before we were born. And so, yes, God is our creator. God is the one that blessed us with the breath of life. And therefore, abortion is wrong. But do we allow the world to dictate what it is we preach on those things? Do we allow the world to dictate what we preach on any subject? We need to make sure we're still standing with God. We need to find the courage in our faith, in our hope, to make sure that we do what is right in His sight. We look to the example of Joshua as he is about to enter into the land and go fight and lead the children of Israel. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Do not worry. Do not fear. The Lord is on your side. Similar verse, 1 Chronicles, if you will. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28, looking there, and in verse 20, as it reads here, it says, David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous, and act. Do not fear, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you, until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. God is with me. That is how we need to walk our lives each and every day. That we walk with God and we have faith that He is with us. And the faith, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that He said, they said, God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, right, even if He doesn't, we will not abandon Him. We will not turn from Him. We are not going to worship a false God. We will die in His name. We need to have that courage to go forth and preach. Again, Matthew 28, verse 18, when Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and what? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end." We have faith in that, that Jesus is there for us. He was there with them as they went and taught the Word of God. He is there with us today. We need to believe that. Trust that. That He is with us to be here. We'll finish off with a very common verse for a subject like this. Philippians 1, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That we can find the courage, we can find the faith, we can find the strength to stand up against false teachers, to stand up and walk that straight and narrow path. We can do that, but only through Christ. Don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to do that. Come forth, make your confession, repent of your sins, be baptized, wash your sins. We can assist you in anything else. We're here to help you. We're here to pray. We're here to study. We'll just let it be known. Stay.